The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. On that day, Jesus went out of the house, and he sat down by the sea. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat, and he sat down. And the whole crowd stood along the shore. As he spoke to them at length in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, where it had little soil. It sprang up at once because the soil was not deep. But when the sun rose, it was scorched, and it withered for lack of roots. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. But some seed fell on rich soil and produced fruit 100 or 60 or 30-fold. Whoever has ears ought to hear. The Gospel of the Lord. This Gospel comes from the book of Matthew, and it has a parallel in Mark and in Luke, which is very clear that in the early churches of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, remembering this teaching of Jesus was clearly very important. There's a slight variation in Luke, but Matthew and Luke would have drawn the teaching from the book of Mark, which was the earliest of the four Gospels. Now, Matthew tells us here, the first small point which is important is, he said, Jesus sat down. The rabbi always sat when he was teaching. Whenever Matthew especially tells us Jesus sat down, he wants us to listen in a special way. The Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5 in Matthew's Gospel begins, Jesus went up on the mountain and he sat down and he began to teach. In Luke chapter 4, the beginning of the public life of Christ, he goes into the synagogue, he reads from the prophet Isaiah, and he rolls up the scroll, hands it to the attendant, and he sits down and he begins to teach. So listen carefully to the teaching when Matthew says, Jesus sits down. Second thing that we notice in this text is that Jesus spoke at length in parables. And this is just one of a number of parables. On next Sunday and the Sunday after, we will be dealing with some more of the parables told on this occasion in the Gospel of Matthew. So we'll have three Sundays dealing with the parables of Jesus. The notion of the farmer scattering the seed, of course, is the etymology, the origin of our word broadcast. He's casting the seed abroad, and the seed has life in it, the seed has hope in it, the seed has possibility in it, but not always. So let me look at the imagery which appears in this parable. The imagery is very, very strong here. Farmer casts the seed and it falls on the pathway. It's the seed which is ignored. It has no effect. The birds of the air came and ate it up, and there was no harvest. And then the seed falls on rocky ground. It doesn't have any depth. And the sun comes and scorches it. It falls on rocky ground. There's no depth here. The word of God falls and it lasts for a moment, but then it's gone. I remember when I was a very young priest in 1966, I was 26, I was just 2 years a priest, and I did a one-week retreat with Fulton Sheen. Archbishop Fulton Sheen was an icon, an extraordinary orator. And I spent a week on retreat with Fulton Sheen, and I read all his books, and I was transfixed by his preaching. It was amazing. And one of the things he emphasized was, a priest should do a holy hour every day. Oh, so I came back and I did a holy hour every day, and I did it every day, and that lasted about 2 weeks. There was no depth in it. No depth in it. Yesterday was the feast of Saint Benedict, early 6th century. Benedict is the father of Western monasticism. And in founding the Benedictine monastic tradition, he had a fourth vow. Poverty, chastity, obedience, but a fourth vow for Benedict was a vow of stability. In its origin, it was that the monk would stay in the same monastery, but it enlarged. Stability of thinking, stability of promise, stability of commitment. The depth of stability. It comes from somewhere deep, deep inside. And the superficial response does not begin to speak to the stability. Lydia. It does not begin to speak to the depth of the stability, bringing the Word of God to life. The next, the seed falls among thorns, and the thorns grow up and smother it. This may have happened to many of us. We're very enthusiastic about something, and we're all excited about it, and we go through a conversion. But then the cares of the world grow up, and the cares of the world come up, and the cares of the world suffocate the idealism which we had at the beginning. And then the seed falls on rich ground and yields a harvest. How is the ground rich? The ground is rich because the ground is broken. The earth is turned upside down. Only the ground which is broken, crushed, can receive the seed and produce a harvest. It's the only ground which is broken, not the pathway, not the superficial rocky ground, not the place where the cares of the world grow up. This is a broken depth, something that the earth has been plowed up. There's an upheaval, there's a brokenness in it. This is the only place in which the seed of God's word will find a place and produce a harvest. What does this mean to us? Well, you can study the Word of God. You can understand the Word of God. But in order to receive the seed, there has to be something more profound. We have to experience the Word of God, not just read it, not even just understand it or study it, but we have to somehow experience the Word of God. Tell me, looking at this parable, I began to wonder how the experience of this Word has appeared in my life. How did it appear in the lives of people that I met? And how did the Word of God coming in this parable appear in my own life? The martyr of El Salvador. He is martyred in 1980. Archbishop Romero. I've been reading his writings recently, and he offers us this insight. He said, there are things in life which can only be seen by eyes that have tears. Eyes that have tears, an experience of brokenness. Only the eyes that have tears can see things that others will not see. So how does this apply to the parable? Well, let me tell you about broken earth, the soil which is broken. In places I have met this, and in my own life, I have shed tears with couples who have lost a child, overwhelmed with grief, weighed down by mystery, broken ground, praying for the grace and the faith and the strength of the Holy Spirit to carry them through an experience which the world cannot understand and which the world cannot begin to support. Carried only by the Word of God, in the broken ground of grief and the presence of mystery, there will be a harvest. And we're praying for a harvest of faith, a harvest of depth, a harvest produced by suffering and sorrow. I have sat with couples in a marriage crisis, divided by anger, unhealed wounds, the bitterness of past experience, living in the chaos of a home without love and passing this on to their children. The conflict, the brokenness, the emptiness, the poverty of broken ground. And I prayed with them that the seeds of generosity and the seeds of wisdom and the seeds of courage will allow them to go to professional counseling and seek to resolve the wounds and divisions in their relationship and in their family, praying that in this broken ground, the seeds of life can produce a harvest. Not too long ago, I sat with a woman and listened to the anguish of her conflicted soul. She went through an abortion. She had this overwhelming sense of guilt and shame, fearing of a God who would judge her, and praying for the seeds of a loving God, an understanding God, a patient God, a God who embraces us in our best and our worst of times, praying for an experience of this God, the seeds of God's gentleness and God's forgiveness and God's love. The broken ground, there will be a harvest of understanding, a harvest of experience of the true God. Not too long ago, a lesbian couple came here to Holy Family with two children to be baptized. They're seeking a church and an experience where their relationship will be treated with dignity and respect, when the genuine love they have for one another, that somehow somebody will reassure them that they are in the presence of God. Looking for the seeds of understanding, the seeds of dignity, the seeds of hospitality in a church called Christ. Looking for a community that will not tell them that they are objectively disordered, but tell them there is a place for you, for your prayer, for your life. Praying for the seeds of God's love that will make a harvest. 10, 30, 60, 90%, whatever it is. And in my own life, in the long Ignatian retreats, the 30-day retreats, where Ignatius says, look deep into your life, discover the poverty, the emptiness, face the sin, face the failure, face the darkness of your life, come to terms with it, own it. Walk through this darkness, and I have done that. And Ignatius says, pray for the gift of tears. Tears for your poverty, for your emptiness, for your sins, for your failure. And gone through this experience, rediscover the wonder of being human. The infinite love of God to embrace you in your best and your worst of times. Rediscover the true God that cherishes you now that you have faced the poverty of being human. That's what this gospel means. And I've gone through the darkness that led me to the light. I've gone through the brokenness that led me to a harvest. That's what this gospel means. So wherever you are in your life, in your homes, you're caught in a conflict, you're weighed down with some anxieties, you're burdened with something beyond your control, beyond your ability, it's the broken earth. Let the seeds of God's presence, the grace of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, enter into your life, into your relationships, into your homes, into our churches, so that the Word of God spoken to us today, Jesus is the Word, and Jesus will find the broken earth, will dwell there with us, and there will be a great harvest. Amen.